Good morning. How is everybody doing this morning? Good. Thumbs up. Thumbs up, everybody. Or thumbs down. Let's be honest. In the middle, halfway. It has been a tough week, and I think everybody on here will agree with that. It's just been a hard week. It's been emotional. It's just been hard. And so I am so glad to see so many people joining us this morning, coming together as a community. It's been nice to see on social media different people coming together in their communities as well. And not just in the ways that the news has been highlighting, but some joy-filled ways as well. So in light of it being a tough week, I just was thinking about the fact that in 1969, when there was a ton of racial tension going on, we sent people to the moon and the world celebrated. And yesterday, social media seemed to stop for about 20 minutes while we launched the first Americans into space for the first time in 9 years. And it went successfully. And then this morning, while we were all getting ready to come to church, they docked successfully with the ISS. And it's just the difference from 51 years ago to now is so small, and it's crazy. So let's just find the joys in the tough week and hold on to that. And I'm not gonna cry. That's what I'm not gonna do right now. All right. So announcements, guys. Table of Plenty is still going on. This is the last week we'll be talking about it as a community. So feel free if you would like to donate, if you would like to come together as a community and help those of us who are hungry, who don't have enough food. You can drop off some food at the Harrington School in North Chelmsford between 9 and 12 on Wednesday. Or you can go to tableofplenty.org if you can't make it out there, and you can just give financially as well. As far as our Zoom meetings, we are working on a plan to move forward, both online and in person, but we're going to be doing this Zoom thing for a little while longer. So if you miss volunteering at Harbor, if you want to help out a little bit, you can contact Paul. And Paul will wave. He doesn't know I'm asking him to wave. That's fine. And you can email at media@harborofhope.org. And with that, let's get. Oh, there's Paul. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. Mike Lynch here. And Danielle, way to make me feel old by referencing something that happened in my childhood in 1969. Your words, too, the Hannah quotation from 2 Samuel were amazing. There's no rock like our God. And he lifts up the poor and needy from the garbage heap. You know, we haven't seen that much, seeing people on a garbage heap. But in Kenya, I've been to Kenya a few times. And in Kenya, if you drive around Nairobi, the big capital city of Nairobi, which is a big city, that is one of the things you see. And the first time you see it, first time I saw it, I was absolutely shocked. There are kids, the ages of your kids, Nate, on garbage piles, looking for food and picking up things that others have thrown away, and just big piles of it, and eating it. And I'm thinking, wow. Anyway, so hey, let me organize myself here a little bit. Surprise, I'm coming from you live from my house this morning. Why am I preaching from my house, you ask, when the past two sermons have been from Harbor? And they have slides and everything. And we might have slides today, I'm not sure. But the honest truth is that this week really got to me as well. And Jeff LaMica and I recorded the sermon on Friday afternoon. And almost from the moment we recorded it, I thought to myself, no, there's more that needs to be said here. So that sermon is all recorded and everything else. But in the wee hours of the morning, this morning, like about 2:30, I woke up and I couldn't stop thinking. I couldn't stop thinking about the current events. I couldn't stop thinking about the murders of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd, all within a month. I couldn't get my mind off the ensuing rage and riots that were going on, and asking myself, and therefore you today, What is this time for? What are we as Christians supposed to do? How are we supposed to act in the midst of this? So I called an audible this morning and told the team we're going live. I had a nice story written all about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and their teamwork, but it all seemed to pale in light of these recent tragedies. And while many of us miss our professional sports, they're only games, right? And this is no game. This is real life in an evil world. And the question is, what are we as followers of Christ going to do about it? So no funny intro here today, just an underscoring of the importance of what we are doing here today. That we are gathering in Jesus' name to worship him, to share in his supper, to study his word together. It is important what we do here today. It is vital. We need to pray together. We need to search the scriptures together. We need God to change us and to show us what a truly Christian response to these things should be. So we're in the third message of our series, and I think this was just God's way of bringing us along. Faith plus hope equals perseverance. It's a good thing. We're going to need all those things in the coming weeks and months. In the first message with Hebrews, we talked about how to run with perseverance the race set before us and what that looks like in the time of COVID, fixing our eyes on Jesus every step of the way. Last week, we started in 1 Peter and talked about the people who were being persecuted and under trials, and we discovered that God's making gold out of us. Sometimes he uses these trials and difficulties to refine us, purify us, and make us shine like gold for him. Today, we're going to ask the question, what is this time for? What is this time for? Back in March, when everything shut down due to the coronavirus, Katie and I listened to a sermon from Pastor Dave Ripper at Crossway Christian Church up in Nashua. In thinking about all the implications and emotions surrounding the shutdown, Pastor Dave had the amazing insight and wisdom to look beyond survival and stay on mission with this amazing question. What is this time for? So I am absolutely pirating that question. I don't think he's going to mind at all. So after listening to that sermon, Katie and I just sat there looking at each other. We had both been quite moved by it. It called to deep places in both of us. And as we talked about it, we decided that for us, the answer to the question, what is this time for, involved growing closer in our relationship with God, growing closer in our relationship with one another, and seeking out the mission that God had for us right here, right now, during this time. It was powerful stuff, and we had no idea what it would lead to. So what is this time for? What is this time for? Let's read our scripture for the day. It's from 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 25. I think it's just as appropriate now as it was when it was written back in the first century. Peter writes this, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but since he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown from before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So Peter, again, was writing to a group of Jewish Christians who were scattered throughout a region that we now call Turkey. They were strangers there, strangers in a strange land, and they were enduring persecution for their faith and discrimination for their ethnicity. This was a group of people who were in survival mode. They were just hoping to have a place to sleep and enough to eat. Hunkered down, doors locked, food and necessities stockpiled, personal interactions limited, living in fear. If we're honest, a lot of people today are stuck in that same sort of survival mode. And hope, for the most part, involves finding a vaccine for COVID, effective treatments, the reopening of our country, somehow getting back to normal. But now it seems like our country is just blowing up. All the pent-up tensions of decades past give us all the more reason to hunker down and get in survival mode, or they give us all the more reason to truly ask and answer that question, what is this time for? Well, here's how Peter answered it for these people. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Prepare for action, he says. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope on the grace of Jesus. You know what he didn't say here? He didn't say to these people, lock the doors, hang on, just survive until Jesus comes, right? He didn't say that. Instead, he challenged them to action. And it was based on something. That first word in the passage, therefore, says that everything that he's saying now is based on the truths that we talked about in the first part of 1 Peter 1 last week. They've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Based on that, prepare for action. There's an imperishable inheritance being kept for us that's going to be revealed when Jesus returns. But don't just wait for it. Prepare for action. And even in the tough times, we can have joy in the journey because God is refining them. Prepare for action. Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. Peter's picturing here a warrior preparing for battle or an athlete preparing for competition. He's saying that we have to be laser focused on fulfilling our mission here, not just on surviving. What's that mission? We're going to talk about it more next week. 1 Peter is just perfect for this. But let me give you a sneak peek in chapter 2 of his book, verse 9. He says that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Our mission is to live as lights in this dark world. And in so doing, to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus to people who are struggling right now, struggling to survive, mourning the loss of life, and who are understandably enraged by it all. So what is this time for? For us as Christ followers, it cannot be about merely surviving. This time is for refocusing on the things that are most important in life, the things that are eternal, not just temporal. And for the rest of this chapter, Peter highlights three things that are eternal and are therefore worthy of our complete focus and all of our energy. This time has been given to us as an opportunity to refocus on eternal things. First, to refocus on our relationship with God. Secondly, to refocus on our relationships with people, especially poignant right now. And third, to refocus on our relationship with God's Word. These are the three things in life that are eternal: God, people, and His Word. And this time has been given to us to refocus, like an athlete before a big game, putting on his game face, like a surgeon before a tough operation, like a mother about to give birth. Total focus on the important things, the essential things, is required. So that's what I want to talk about today, how to live intentionally and authentically as children of God in this world. So number one, focus on our relationship with God. It's time to go deep with God, friends. It is. It all starts here. In verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also should be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Our lives and our conduct are based on God and who he is. You shall be holy, for I am holy, he says. Peter's quoting a familiar Old Testament passage from Leviticus to them, where the whole verse reads this, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. In this passage, God uses his covenant name, Yahweh Elohim. The significance is he's speaking to them not just as the creator God, the ruler of heaven and earth, but also the covenant God, the one who has loved them with an everlasting love and made a covenant with them to bless them, rescue them, and keep them. How well do you know God? How close, how intimate are you with this Yahweh Elohim and with his son, Jesus? You see, this isn't a Jeopardy game where you get to know, where you have to know all kinds of esoteric facts about God. This is a relationship, a love relationship, initiated by God towards us. I am the Lord who loves you. And this relationship changes us. He says, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. Well, what does that mean, to be holy? The word holy in Hebrew simply means to cut, like exactly that, to cut with a knife, as in to separate things from one another. So Peter's saying, if we want to truly know God, then we live lives that are set apart for a purpose. We will think differently. We will love differently. We will act differently. In his long prayer to the Father in John 17, Jesus says, he says to the Father, Father, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. People, we have been set apart, cut, made holy for a purpose. We are in the world. That's where we live right now. And that's where we're responsible to live. And our hearts are being reshaped by the Spirit of God so that our lives do not conform to the world's standards and the world's ways of doing things. Only when our hearts reflect the loving heart of God will we be the holy people, the set apart people that Jesus sends out into the world to bring others to him. And that takes getting to know God, which means going deep with Jesus. The rest of that passage up until verse 21 talks about the fact that we have been ransomed. We have been ransomed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Jesus shed for the sins of the world. We'll be celebrating communion shortly. Remember that. We were ransomed. The world's sins were paid for by Jesus. He had none to pay for on his own, but he paid for yours and for mine. So here's our first challenge in these times, to go deep with Jesus and to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And based on that relationship, to be set apart for his purpose in the world. Secondly, this time has been given to us. It's for focusing on our relationships with people. Verse 22 says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. People are the second things that are eternal. The earth's not eternal. The universe is not eternal. My bank accounts, my 401k, they're not eternal. People are eternal. And the second aspect of refocusing, of answering the question, what is this time for, is to focus on loving people. What does it mean to love one another earnestly from a pure heart? Jesus made this point so clearly. He was talking with a religious lawyer who was trying to trip him up. The man asked him the question, Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what's written in the law? How do you read it? The man answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Great Sunday school answer, right? And he nailed it too. And Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. And then the lawyer asked a follow-up question, as lawyers often do. And it's a good one. He said, "And who is my neighbor?" That, my friends, is still the question, isn't it? And who is my neighbor? Pastor Tim Keller wrote in an essay that there are four habits of the heart that are required for peace and understanding between people who are very different: humility, hope, love, and courage. I've asked my friend Sheila Devereaux, a person whom I think embodies those qualities, especially courage, to read for us an amazing piece she's written in these times. Sheila, are you there?
I am here.
The floor is yours. I'm reading.
Thank you. So thank you for sharing about, that preparing for action. So the piece that I wrote is called A Call to Action. So Harper, tears don't seem to stop streaming down my face, so I'm not even going to say I'm not going to cry. So I'm anxious, I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm tired. In the past, I really tried to ignore or control those feelings, but I've since learned that they're a gift. Jesus got tired, Jesus wept, Jesus got angry. They're gifts from him, and they're signs that we are human. And today they're reminding me that we're called to carry each other's burdens in Galatians 6:2. 200 years of legalized slavery, 89 years of legalized segregation. Here we are 66 years after that, still fighting for equality. Beatings, lynchings, racists, and oppression are not a thing of the past. They're evolving, and we should evolve too. In Galatians 6:15, what counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. In Jesus, we are transformed. So what if instead of standing still and complacent as a new creation, we wake up and set different intentions, intentions for action? If we claim not to be racist, we need to act like we are not racist. Jesus was a man of action, not just sound bites and anecdotes. Jesus wasn't white. Jesus was not a man of quiet acceptance. Jesus saw injustices and inequities. Jesus protested. Jesus saw what was inside of people, and Jesus called them out. Can we be a new creation in how we put the gospel into action? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. Isn't it our job, if we call ourselves Christian, to share with others the message of their value, to share that they are loved and worthy? Or is it easier to point fingers? What did they do to get themselves in that position? Why are they protesting? Is fighting violence with violence the answer? Does the gospel simply mean that we're near God, or is it also reconciliation? In order for reconciliation, there needs to be action. That idea of one race. As believers, we know that someday all will be resolved. All tears will be dried. We're not there yet. So what do we do right now? Check on your friends and family members of color. Ask them how they are. Honor them. Tell them that you see them. Tell them that Jesus will dry their tears, hold their broken hearts and tired bodies. They can have hope through him. They are worthy. They are loved. They are valued. Engage in conversation with your sisters and brothers of color. Read books for yourself or with your children by people of color. Become friends with or follow people on social media that don't live, look, sound, or act like you. Educate yourself. Try to understand their fears, concerns, hopes, and dreams. Do the hard work and the research without relying on them. Don't pat yourself on the back for being called honorable, saintly, accepting thanks and appreciation when you share the message, when you share your messages and words of support. Give credit to people of color. Their voices should be louder than yours. They are not carrying the burden. They are carrying the burden, not you. don't post pictures of acts of violence or videos of acts of violence against them. 355 years of fighting for equality and counting. If the message of the gospel is that we all belong to God together, no separation, no difference, stand up for our brothers and sisters. We want to act like Jesus. We want our hearts set on fire for each other's burdens because we're not there yet.
Thanks, Sheila. That was brave and very beautifully put. And I look forward to talking with you more about this and some others too. You started something here, girl. Well done. So do we have a complete answer for how we as new creations in Christ should respond to all this? No, we don't. Not yet. But we do know Jesus, and we do know that he loved people, all people, with amazing, undiscriminating love. And if we are followers of Christ, we must follow him in love and in action, as Sheila said. We must find ways to make connections, build friendships, and fight injustice. Failure is not an option, friends. This is something that Christ has called us to do. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. I don't think we could have manufactured that any better. The third thing that this time has been given to us for is to focus on our relationship with God's word. And these are all intertwined. But here's what Peter says in the last part of chapter 1. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. When I left Grace Community Church back in 2005, a bunch of faithful friends there got together and bought me a new Bible. This one, as a matter of fact. And I don't know if you can see it, but look what they had embossed on the front cover. It's Isaiah 40, verse 8, which Peter quotes here. The word of our God will stand forever. So here you have our third eternal thing that's going to really help us refocus during this time. It's God's word. The Bible, all 66 books, Old Testament, New Testament, the parts we get, the parts we don't get, the parts that make us laugh, the parts that make us cry, the parts that make us angry. We get all of it. They're the love story of God with the human race. It's got ups and downs, plot twists, mysteries, and cliffhangers. And it's ultimately important for us as followers of Christ. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Paul wrote, "Every part of Scripture is God-breathed, God-breathed, and useful in one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our own rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way." Do we need to be trained to live God's way right now? You bet, you bet. "Through the word, we are put together," he says, "and shaped up for the tasks God has for us." And trust me, he's got some things for us to do. The word of God, illuminated by the Spirit of God, it pierces our hearts, reveals our selfishness and our errors. It's a light for our path. By it, we get to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By it, we are changed. We are taught how to love. Now, the Bible, I'm going to put it right out there. It's under attack in our day. There's a lot of people who claim it's a merely human fabrication. Many are pointing out alleged contradictions and discrepancies. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've got it all figured out. Have I studied it? Yes. Do I have it figured out? No. I have a few questions too. But I do believe the Bible is the inspired word of the living God. And when it is read and applied to hearts by the Holy Spirit, people's lives are changed. And I will never stop believing that. Back in 1976, this should show my age a little bit more. Thanks for starting that out, Danielle. Katie and I were dating. We were in our junior year at Boston College. And sometime during that fall, Katie had an awakening, or rather a reawakening from God. What could have reached the heart of this hippie girl whom I was growing to love so much. What reached her heart and turned it inside out were some Bible verses that she had memorized when she was a young girl at a Christian summer camp. She told me one night that we were going to break up because, as she said to me, "I've just got to get right with God." I had no idea what she was talking about, but somehow inside my heart there was a flicker. It was quick, but it was there. And I told her, "Okay, all right. So how about we try out this Christianity thing for a couple of weeks?" Well, we didn't break up, fortunately for me. And she began to show me her favorite Bible verses, which I had never really paid much attention to. She gave me a Bible for Christmas that year, a Living Bible. Cool hippie cover. Wish I could find it. But it was inside the book, the inside of the book, that really got to me. Not being very familiar with it, as I said, I just open it randomly at night before I'm going to bed and read some before bed. And night after night, I'd read something that seemed like it was highlighted just for me, like God saying, "Yo, Mike, this one's for you." It was spooky. Long story short, I couldn't dismiss it. The Word of God brought me to the cross, and it continues to bring me back to the cross, no matter how far I stray or how long I stay away. The Word of God is living and active. How's your relationship with God's Word? Is it your daily bread? You know, we don't have great answers yet to the questions that we are asking about how to live and love as Christians in this evil world. But as we go deep with God, and as we continue to get to know Jesus better through His Word, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into some good and powerful ways to make a difference. To quote from Tim Keller again, he says, when we're focusing on things like what we're talking about, our relationship with God, our relationships with people, our relationship with God's Word, he says, then a love for people and joy in the Lord will grow and overcome fear. And Christians will figure out how to reach out to others. Love, born of grace, will find a way. Let me say that last one again because I butchered it. Love, born of God's grace, will find a way. So as we close here right now, I'd like to ask you to consider, just take a quiet moment, 30 seconds, and ask God right now in this quiet moment, what is He saying to you? How is He speaking into your heart about all of this? I've thrown a lot at you, I know that. But honestly, I felt like at 2:30 this morning, I was drinking from a fire hydrant from God. I need this too. So I'd like you to be quiet for 30 seconds and ask God to focus you on one thing, and then in 30 seconds, I'll bring us together again and close us in prayer, okay? Let's give it a shot with all the distractions. 30 seconds. What is this time for? What is God saying to you? You just wrap up your thoughts. Heavenly Father, we bow before You in humility and in awe. You are holy, and therefore we should be holy, separated apart, set apart for Your purposes in this world. But in order for that to truly happen, we need to be changed by You, made holy. Our love purified, our courage strengthened and bolstered. Lord, we need wisdom from You as to how to act, how to love people as You love them, how to act in this world in a way that points people to Jesus and not away from Him. Lord, we've not done a great job at this, let's be honest. But right now we're faced with it, and it's something that we must have Your wisdom and Your strength and Your guidance for. Lord, I think you've probably spoken to every person who's listening and watching today, and whatever that intention is of their heart, an intention to action, Lord, may it be so for your glory and for the good of the people on this planet whom you so love. Bless us, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.